his police car's right out front, because I didn't believe him after that. I was like, this man is not a police officer if he's doing that.
You were one ticket away from going to jail.
I was one ticket away from going to jail for 3 months. I walk in and he pulls out a gun and points it right at me and he's like,
welcome to the 27th episode of the Sent and Bent podcast. This morning, Will was over whispering in the corner of some shenanigans he got up to this weekend. And I think he came home with something brand new that he wanted to wait until the podcast to tell us. So you know it's going to be good.
Also, we've done 27 of these already.
Yeah.
That's a lot. Yeah. I did not realize we'd done that many.
Yeah, we're crushing.
We're crushing.
Almost every week, man.
Yeah.
Plus, anyway, you just got back from Texas.
I did.
And Will and I were surprisingly responsible while you were gone.
Also, I got back from Texas for the second to last time.
Nice.
Ever?
At least El Paso.
Okay.
I don't know if I've ever explained why I'm always leaving on the podcast.
I don't think so. You can.
Doesn't need to be that long of a story. My wife's in the Army. She got stationed in El Paso, so I go down there to visit her like every other month or so. And when I do, you guys usually get up to some very swindly business.
I will say that this is one of the first times you've left that we haven't started any kind of fire whatsoever at all.
Also, you guys actually just like worked on a project that was already going and finished it instead of like, usually it's some secret new weird pile of crap that I don't know about. And it's always like loosely hidden somewhere, but like it's not very well hidden, except for the time I came home and I couldn't even park because it was in the middle of my driveway. And that was the worst thing you guys ever did. not that part of it, but the thing that you had built was the worst thing I've ever seen.
That was the watercraft
of the driveway.
It had like glue dripping down it because I like tried to waterproof it.
Or there was the time that the 24-hour challenge one, like I didn't even know
that was nice.
I didn't even know that you guys were doing a secret video. Like normally I know. That time you had started with some other project that I knew you were doing. And then I came home and I was just like putting some stuff away in my shop or something. That was before this shop was done. And I just found pieces of a street bike. And I was like, these don't match any other pieces. But there was no street bike to be seen. It was just like a fairing. And I was like, this isn't part of the Hayabusa. This is not part of anything we've ever used.
Nope.
So I had to go looking. And it was, of course, just in the sand pit here where the shop is now. But
and that's the bike that has a four-wheeler welded to the front of it, basically. That's
with primitive welding skills, too. Like, it is very craft.
That's level one crafting skills, for sure.
It's pretty incredible how far you've come since then, if you think about it.
Yeah, I was like, looking at a couple of my designs out in the junkyard over there.
Yeah.
And,
I have come a long way.
The four-link suspension on the Chang Li compared to the 24-hour challenge. I mean, given that was 24 hours, but still.
Yeah,
that
but
was
usually
like,
now my projects like work.
Also, Will was on the 24-hour challenge. He had he was pretty much just like alone all night.
Yeah,
like had no one there to be like, hey, what do you think about this?
Yeah,
just
after just driving,
no input.
We've never. Maybe we should tell your story and then get into that, but you should tell the full...
Well, we're on a roll right now.
Okay, so this is the thing about the 24-hour challenge.
We'll save the good exciting news for later.
Yeah, okay, so sounds good.
A little
to wait for. So let me plug this back in real quick, but we didn't know we were doing the 24-hour challenge either when you left.
Until like 24 hours before.
Basically, I was like... We knew we wanted to do a 24-hour challenge.
Right.
So I was like, well, if you find a good deal on anything and you think it's something you can craft in 24 hours, let me know.
This was probably even before the word crafting was
popular.
Oh, yeah.
It was. And so then...
Popular.
Will was on Marketplace while we were here. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Here. Yep. And he was like, this is such a good deal, man. This bike is like, it says it runs and all this stuff. And it's
because we were looking for an engine. Let me premise. It wasn't a good deal as like a street bike. It was really craft. But
yeah, it was a good deal for the motor.
Translation. It was a terrible,
beat
up Ninja 600.
Yeah.
But it was beat up aesthetically, not mechanic. Well, one of the foot pegs was a piece of all thread. So
yeah.
And it didn't have like any brakes, essentially. Like you had to press them like a whole bunch of times.
So Will shows me this thing and I'm like, okay, let's do it. 24-hour challenge. And then he drew on a napkin, basically, the four-wheeler just in the front of it. And he's like, and then you sit right here. And I was like, okay, 24-hour challenge. And then I just handed Will the cash and he went off on the adventure to buy this thing. And that's really where the story starts.
Yeah, that was a long adventure because my Brian just gave me like a taxi service with this man who like hand built this TDI machine. And I didn't know him at all. And he just drove me like,
Wait, you skipped over something. Who did this, Will? You just said my Brian.
No, one of his friends.
Your friend Brian. Brian.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe I just said my Brian.
You did say your Brian. Okay.
The reason I say my Brian is Brian's a special kind of man. He like works on Subarus and knows like all these very interesting people that like craft deals out of thin air. Mm-hmm. And so I can always hit up Brian.
So he's a max level swindler is what you're saying.
Yeah. And like, I was running out of options. I forget how I was even planning to get down there in the first place. But I think I was thinking my buddy Brian was going to bring me down there. And he's like, oh, I can't go, but I have a guy. I can get you out there. And he just showed up in this like handmade Volkswagen TDI machine.
I thought it was a Volvo.
It might have been, but it had a TDI in it, whatever it was.
I don't know what it was. I just heard Volvo the first time. Volvo, Volkswagen, whatever. It's same
a
thing.
Brand that's not Subaru showed up with a TDI in it and brought me out there. So I'm already kind of like weirded out that I'm just getting taxied out to the middle of nowhere in a TDI handcrafted machine.
By somebody you've never met.
By someone I've never met. He ended up being really cool, and we met him again at the Gambler. You guys actually saw him.
Mm-hmm.
But we get there, and it's in this little, like, shed area, and this man comes out immediately saying, I just got arrested on this thing and went to jail. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, what? Like, I've never had someone say that to me, and I've done a lot of swindly deals. And this man just shows up, says, I got arrested in this thing. And it runs. And I'm like, what's going on right now? So it like threw me for a loop. And I kept asking him like, oh yeah, so it runs. And he's like, yeah, I just got arrested on this thing. And I didn't put two and two together for like three times of asking him that. And his dad finally comes out with a handful of tickets. And he's like, this man needs to sell this thing. And I had to drive down about 3 miles of freshly graded gravel roadway.
On bald street bike tires
with no front brakes. Like all I had was rear brake. So it was like super scary. And I don't know if you guys have ever driven a street bike on freshly graded gravel, but it is horrible, even if it works great.
It's like trying to ride a bicycle on marbles.
Yes, that is the best way I've ever heard it described. Because those tires just, they're not good at that, and they sink in, and you only have a rear brake. And I was kind of worried, too, because like that was in the time when I was getting in trouble with the law all the time, and this was in Idaho. And this bike was already wanted.
You were one ticket away from going to jail.
I was one ticket away from going to jail for 3 months. And I put like...
The best part of this is that this was also like right at the height of your sleep deprivation. Like we were trying to be like, Will, you really need to sleep. And then in the midst of that, Edwin's like, you know what we should do? You should stay up for 24 hours, go buy this street bike that's capable of 140 mm-hmm. or 160 or whatever, drive it home unsupervised, and then stay up for 24 hours.
I am an instigator.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If I have, you know, like those people, the one word Instagram bios that like defines them.
Instigator.
Like entrepreneur. Yeah. Mine's instigator.
And you really
instigate.
You really instigate my like reckless activities.
This is why we call you the Swindle Brothers.
because
you're left unsupervised.
Like he doesn't want me to be reckless, but when I describe a reckless idea to him, he's like, oh wow, that's a really yeah. good idea.
What if we make it more reckless?
Yeah. So I get this bike, I drive like through this little town, and everyone at the gas station I went to was saying like, oh my gosh, can you believe the amount of police out here today? And I was like, oh no. And they're like, yeah, they're doing like a routine street cleanup, taking all the hooligans out.
Oh no.
And I was like, they were also talking about a winter storm that was told to me before I went on this trip. So
so that's your decision.
But I really thought that I was going to like be able to skip it. But this is on the way to Lewiston or Boise? One of those towns.
Boise's way farther away. It was probably Lewiston.
It was Lewiston. And you have to drive up that long pass, mm-hmm. you know, the weird long pass, and you go in and you start smelling those weird smells.
Yeah, that's Lewiston.
Yeah, that place. That
Stephen
weird
and I just drove through there to get the snow cat.
Yeah. So I was driving up that hill and the snow just instantly like started when I got halfway up the hill. And I was like, oh no,
that's
bro.
Because, Will, fun fact, Lewiston is the lowest point in Idaho.
Yeah, so it was
the
like nice
is only
down
like
there.
400 feet.
Yeah, I think those factories keep it a little warmer, too. Like, it's in this giant hole in
no,
the
it's
earth.
Because it's the lowest elevation. It's next to a giant river. It's not the factory.
So it's all warm and stuff. And then I'm driving up, hit a snowstorm. It's not that bad. Get a little further. I don't have a gas gauge, so I have to keep, like, pulling over, opening the tank, which, if you guys have tried to open the tank on the double cart...
Yeah.
Is really hard, and I was worried I was going to break my key off in the middle of nowhere.
That tank is all sorts of janked up.
It's really jank. So, yeah, I'm just in the middle of nowhere, and it starts snowing more and more and more. And I call Steven, or I text Steven, because I call
like
Edwin.
3 a.m.
Yeah, I try to call Edwin at 3 a.m, and obviously this is a very responsible man. He is not up at 3 o'clock in the morning. And
I don't know. Edwin stays up all night randomly.
I wouldn't answer my phone in the middle of the day either, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He's a hard man to get a hold of.
Good luck calling me.
So yep. I try to get a hold of Ed. Can't get a hold of Ed. I contact Steven because he usually contacts me back really quick. And he contacts me right away. And I like started freaking out a little bit. I was in this weird town and I was so cold. I was wearing my motorcycle suit.
But that's not made for driving in the snow.
It's actually worse because the water like went inside the suit and just like didn't leave me alone. It was just like in there, like puddled up, and it was starting to like get frozen inside there. And I was slipping all over the road, and I like barely had any service, and my phone was at 14%. So I'm like talking to Steven, and I'm like, wow, I'm freezing, man. And I don't know where I am, and I think I'm going to die. And I was getting kind of freaked out. And he's like, well, there's a casino like up a ways, a little way. And so I just got back on the bike, even though I didn't want to, drove out of this little town into what seemed like the middle of nowhere. It was like a dark field, just snowing. I couldn't see anything. It was like going in my visor. And I'm like, in the distance, I see this little light like shimmering, like sure. And I'm like, oh, that's the casino, man. I'm almost there. And I get there. It's this bar in the middle of nowhere with like a couple of cars outside. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's warm in there because I saw some smoke coming up. There was a little like wood stove in there. And I walk in and this guy turns around and he's like, holy devil, man. What the heck? And he pulls out a gun and points it right at me. And he's like, never, ever walk into a place like this dressed in that kind of gear. And I'm just like very confused at this point because I'm sleep deprived and I've been in the snow and it was like really weird little shack. I didn't even know if it was like a house or a bar. And so, yeah, after that, I take off my helmet and we're all cool. It turns out I walked into a veteran meeting. Like from like an old war. I don't know what war, but they were like worried that I was coming to like take them out or something. So they're like
in a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, they're all like in a little like circle in this bar, like drinking coffee and stuff. And like it freaked him out, which I kind of understand now, but with no context, you're like, why is this man
normally
freaking
you would expect
out?
To be able to walk into a bar with a helmet on,
yeah,
like, getting off a bike and be fine. That's
you think that's
pretty
like,
standard.
There was no open sign or anything. I definitely walked into a place that I wasn't supposed to walk into, but it ended up being like a veteran meeting.
But you're freezing to death.
I was freezing to death, so they let me sit next to the little wood stove that. Nice lady behind the counter got me some coffee. It was great. And then after that, I set off, got to the casino, and right before I pulled in, I slipped that motorcycle off the road going like 10 miles an hour. I just like tried to hit the brakes. They didn't work. And I just slid off the road into this little like ravine area and had to like craft it out before I could go to the casino to go to sleep. And it's like three or four. It's probably like four in the morning at this point. I'm freezing. I just want to go to bed. And the bike is like this heavy motorcycle with bald tires and no brakes, just idling in this ditch. Now I'm just like, oh my gosh, man.
Hearing this full story, like I've heard all the bits and pieces, but hearing it all chronologically, it just blows my mind that anyone thought that was an idea.
It was just Will. Steven and I both tried to talk him out of it. We're like, oh, it's not worth driving back in the storm. We'll just do it next week.
Yeah.
Then Will's like, no, I have to do it. Like when he sets his mind, he really does get in this like game zone. And then after that, he drives it up here in the morning after he stays at the casino. And then I meet him here. We start kind of filming, tearing down the bike. And I'm like, dude, let's do the 24-hour challenge a different day. Like you were up all night, three nights in a row, and then did that all night in the cold. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's just, you know, start the clock a different day. Like, let's sleep today, you know, no worries. And then we'll go. And he's like, no, man, 24 hours. I have to do it. And that's what started the challenge. Ever since then, we've been talking about challenges like every day.
24-hour challenge.
There was a thrill in the 24-hour challenge, man, that hit different.
Yeah.
Will's really good at telling stories in different ways to different people because, like, Will's version, like, all the facts are more or less the same. But, like, I got the impression that Will, like, it was only, like, I don't know, a vague percentage his idea. You know, like, it wasn't like he was the only one saying, we have to do this. He's like, not like, it sounded like much more of a group decision at every point. We'll just put it that way.
I will confess that I really wanted to ride a motorcycle, so I did craft my way into a situation where I had to drive it through a storm like 3 hours back home.
Yeah. Anyway. That's the 24-hour challenge.
That's the lore of the 24-hour challenge.
Yeah, and that's the engine that is now in
the double
go-kart.
And that machine came to be known as just the shaft.
Yeah.
It was such a pile of crap.
That's true.
Like, yeah. It looked kind of interesting, and it made really good noises.
It was so dangerous, too, because I put the throttle, like, in the wrong spot and made it out of, like, a brake or something.
Yeah, left foot throttle made out of a brake.
Yeah, instead of just using the throttle that was on the handlebars.
It was really bad. I don't know why I did that. I think about that at night. I'm like, why did I put
this? Dude, the sleep deprivation got crazy, man. Dude. That was a good video, though. That's probably
the moral of the story is, though, don't ever let Will build stuff when he's sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Like, challenges are great, but like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody should build stuff sleep deprived, to be honest.
We could have thought it
very interesting decisions.
Yeah. I do think everyone's got to go check out the 24 challenge video because that is like one of our better videos with the least amount of views. Like a lot of times if we make a banger, like what was a recent banger, the double cart, like it's all in one video. It's really entertaining. A bunch of adventure stuff happens. Yeah. And that one, you know, got almost a million views.
It's a one and done video where you have the adventure and the build.
And there's not like, we put extra love into those. And the 24-hour challenge is an example of one that deserves more views. Also the first limo video.
Mm-hmm. The first limo video at least has like close to a million. It's like 700,000 or 800,000. So that's good.
I'm shrinking. My chair went down. All right. So what happened this weekend then?
Yeah. So what's this story you were whispering about?
I figured I wasn't going to tell you guys at all. And I was just going to let you guys figure it out throughout time.
Is this a lose your mustache situation?
No.
There's not much there right now.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I figure I'll let you guys take some guesses really quick and say,
well, I don't have any context. You were just whispering. Yeah. I don't have any.
I got something. That's all your context.
And I mean, you already got the R1, so I'm going to guess it's
not a motorcycle that, because he said that he needs to, if it keeps snowing, he can use it tonight.
I can use it to its full potential.
Did you get a snowmobile or a snowbike?
No,
I bet he got like some kind of rally car.
What? Did you get another Subaru, Will?
You'd be correct. We have a lucky winner.
Wait, how many did you already have, Will?
I sold them all, and I made the one Subaru contract with my girlfriend. Now I have two, but the silver one will be going up for sale pretty soon here.
It's still not done, right?
Yeah, so it's getting a new engine in it. And okay. Then
so you're just gonna you were sale. Gonna keep that one, yeah. But now you're
so you got something better than the dream car you were building.
Well, the thing that was so cool about the silver car is it was all the things from my yellow car, which was my dream project, that I cut up a little too much and I decided wasn't my dream project anymore. So,
so you just took all the internals from that and yeah, you were putting
so
it
was
into a
kind
WRX.
Of special, but it wasn't like special because yeah. I don't.
It was just a random.
It was just a random WRX. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With all the stuff from the yellow car in it.
So did you buy a 2.5 RS?
Yes. Coupe STI 400 horsepower with all the 22B stuff on it.
So it's actually STI swapped.
Yeah.
Yeah. With all the wide body stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Not the wide body stuff, but like,
well, you said the 22B stuff. That's yeah. wide body.
Okay. Yeah. That's a little bit misleading. It has
like all the mechanical.
The guy who built it, this is a very good build. It's a really like quality project. And that's why I bought it. Cause it, I could tell when I looked at the car that it had all the Japanese stuff on it and it was like an iWire harness. The guy didn't just hot glue the car together like I would. So when I saw it, I was like, I have to have that car because it's a coupe and it's an STI and that's what my yellow car was. But when I say 22B stuff, I mean like the dash from a 22B, like the gauge cluster. All that stuff.
Gotcha.
Like
all the interior stuff.
Special stuff. Okay. It has the...
So it's like what your yellow car would have been if you finished it.
Yeah, it's what I wanted my car to be. It has the DCCD and the intercooler sprayer and stuff. A rear window wiper from Japan. You can only get them in Japan. Very cool.
It has a bunch of stuff that no people who aren't really into Subarus have has, no idea what you're talking
mind
about.
Mind you, this is a 96. When you park it, the mirrors fold in. Only Japanese has that. So
and yours cool. specifically how, does
do we want to know how much money you paid for this car?
You do, because it's a fabulous deal.
Oh,
all right.
But I'll start my story off before I tell you.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's hear the whole story.
So I've been crafting. I've been talking to my girlfriend a lot, and I've been saying, hey, I don't think this is the car that I want for my one Subaru deal. I want something
the
different.
The silver car, right?
Yeah. Okay. I just don't want it, and I want to switch. I want to make a little trade and get it out of here. And so I still agree to the one Subaru deal. I have two right now, but, you know.
That's just an overlap in time. Yeah.
So I've been looking at them, and I found a really good deal on a JDM hatchback WRX that I was talking about on the last podcast. And we were trying to figure out if it was responsible enough for me to get one or not.
Mm-hmm.
But that deal ended up falling through because someone decided to outbid me by $3,000.
That's a lot of outbidding.
Yeah, for a car that doesn't work.
That had blown head gaskets.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a mustache losing situation to start.
I know. I was gonna buy it and then like hand build the head gaskets back together, but I just decided probably not the best thing to do. I wanted to get a running car. So I found this car that had actually been up for quite some time, but I think it got hidden by some like algorithms or something because no one was biting at it.
Yeah, sometimes when you list things like if you don't put, like, I don't know, I've just seen something. If you don't put in the right name that it'll show up in a search, like sometimes it just
it
doesn't.
Yeah, it was labeled wrong. It wasn't labeled as a coupe.
Right.
And so people are looking for those cars. They're not looking for the four-door version of this. So yeah, it just didn't get seen. And I found a really good deal already. It was 10 grand. He wanted 10 grand for this car. Which 400 horsepower, all-wheel drive, STI swap.
I mean, where are you getting anything for 10 grand?
Pretty
less
good
than that.
Deal. Okay. So I find it and I talk to my buddy Davey and I'm like, hey, let's take your Insight down to Seattle. I want to try to drive this car anyway, the Insight. So it gives us an opportunity to drive this car to Seattle so I can test it out. That car gets 75 miles to the gallon.
My grandmother.
What?
My grandmother had one of those, a red Honda Insight.
They're
you know what's
sick.
Funny? When I was in Texas last week, we went up to Santa Fe for the weekend, just you know, for something different to do. And I'm pretty sure I saw her old Insight. Because I mean, how many Insights are actually on the road?
Davey said many, there's 5,000. They have a calculator left, and there's like 5,000.
And in Santa Fe, New Mexico, What? It was a bright red Insight.
Sure.
And it was probably my grandmother. This is the same grandmother that had the van. Anyway, carry on.
Have you seen an Insight?
No idea.
They're manual, like early 2000s cars that look like jelly beans.
They have like the rear wheels are half covered by the body.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They were a Prius, but like 10 years before the Prius, and like look way newer.
Wow, like, Davey has one of those,
and they were designed in the same place that the first NSX was designed—an aluminum frame. Like they're like really well made.
Way ahead of their time.
Wow, yeah. That's cool.
And they're super hybrid cool. And all that. Obviously.
Yeah, so we got to learn how that all works, and I got to drive that car a little bit down there, and. The whole idea was to just go down there on the weekend, get this car and drive it back.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
So it's a runner.
Yeah. It's like built well. Like, wow. I don't know. You guys have seen the cars I drive.
Yeah, they're the worst super yeah. Known to man.
This thing's a little, like, it's got some scratches and dings and the paint's not super great. But, like, the quality of build is insane because this guy was, the guy who originally made it was stationed in Japan. And so he just got to see like how they were built, and like he was like really into Subarus in Japan, so he just had like all these special parts delivered back when he got back to the States and built it into a US car. So he just put all that stuff on there. So anyway, we go to check out the car, and well, we got some donuts and stuff first, hung out in Seattle a little bit, went to check out the car, and usually it's like some kid that's selling you a shafty Subaru.
Yeah.
And I'm used to that.
You mean like you, Will?
No.
I'm a good
salesman.
You fit the description. Yeah. You're a swindler.
Yeah.
You are the weird kid selling people shafty Subarus. You are the main character in that story.
No, that's not. It is true.
It's true.
Yeah, okay, I won't fight that. But anyway, we show up and this guy is like super professional. And the car looks way better than it did in photos. And I'm like, awesome, sweet. Let's take it for a test drive and see if it works. And so he's like, well, let me drive it for you first so that I can show you all the special things. And we're driving down in a 25 mile per hour zone. And this man is casually talking to us. And he's like, yeah, I work in law enforcement. And I'm like, nice. Like, what do you do? And he's like, well, I'm part of like the gang management force in Seattle.
What?
And he's like, it's a really fun job. And like, it pays for all my Subarus. And he's like, just talking to us like calm and collected and driving it really respectfully. And all of a sudden we pull out of the Lowe's parking lot we're in. And this man roasts all four tires at once. I've never been in a car that does that, all-wheel drive. Roasting all four tires. It's a little rainy, so like easier to do. But he's roasting all four tires. He pulls out like three lanes into this like road that is a 25 mile per hour zone, is zipping through traffic at like 100 miles an hour. And Davey and I are both in there like, whoa.
And this guy is in law enforcement.
We're like, whoa. And we're just like smiling ear to ear. Like, how do you say that? Ear to ear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grinning ear to ear.
It put a smile on my face immediately. So much so that when we got back, I didn't even check the oil, which I should have. I checked it when we were at a gas station. It was fine.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it was a done deal from there because that man was roasting tires, blasting through traffic, like took us
on
the ride of our
life. Did you pay the full price, the full 10 grand asking price?
No.
I was waiting for this part of the
story. Let's take bargaining guesses of how much I paid for this car.
Well, let's let you finish the story and then we'll guess.
Okay. I'm just excited to tell you how much I got the car for, but yeah, we'll wait. So anyway, yeah, I'll show
the camera.
Oh, okay. So we do the deal and we go back to his house to sign paperwork, and he's got this sick exact wagon that I was going to buy before I left for Seattle, but it's so much cleaner than that one and it was super premium, and he has like stacks of JDM stuff all over the place and his police car's right out front, because I didn't believe him after that. I was like, this man is not a police officer if he's doing that. But yeah, his police car's stacked out front and with all these awesome JDM parts and this awesome Subaru, And it was just the best buying experience I've ever had in my entire life. Like, this guy knew what he was talking about. He knew the parts that he had on there. He knew the value of the car. And like, there's something to be said if this man is just ripping on this car that hard. You don't do that to a Subaru unless you know something's built different in there.
Yeah, he knows that it's going to last.
When I take people on test drives, I'm like, all right, we're going to hit 20. Everyone hold on. This man was roasting. So, yeah, we get the car. We start heading back. And on the way back, it says, like, WRX on the back of it. And it has, like, all the old 90s, like, WRX stickers all over it. And so, like, all these sad boys want to race me. That car put three car lengths on a 2019 STI that was making stew noises at me. It put, like, miles on a Focus ST with, like, a big wing and stuff and making stew noises. And, yeah, it just, it beat every car that I raced. And I raced very responsibly, too. We'd slow down and then go, shoo! And you just hook up. It is just... It is incredible. I love it. And I'm going to bring it here one day. But it runs and drives, but...
One day.
Well, you keep saying but. Yeah. What's the but here?
Well, it runs and drives. Where's but, the poop, like, Robin? There is no poop. It's so, like, premium, and I just don't want to drive it at all. I'm, like, worried about it.
Oh, yeah, especially so in the snow. I mean, all the salt and or yeah, not salt,
but the thing that I like about it is it's not premium on the outside. It's like just looks like this little weird coupe. It's a sleeper. Yeah, it doesn't have a big wing. It has like a medium wing.
Well, yeah, I mean, back in the 90s, they weren't making the gigantic wings.
It's just it has a hood scoop and stuff, but it has some scratches on it. The paint's not good at all, but like the build quality is. Just nice. It's not sad boy. It's really the best Subaru I've ever seen in my life.
Nice. But, and it's yours.
Yeah, it's mine. And I think it got Katie into Subarus, which is awesome.
Really?
I did one poll and she's like, whoa! It is just the funnest thing ever because it's enough horsepower to be fun, but like still controllable to a certain point. And it sounds like a tractor inside of it because it has like straight cut gears. Like the gears are like, it's like,
sounds like nice. A
yeah, so it's really cool. I can't wait to show you guys. Nice. I think it will be really cool.
So my guess was 7,000.
7,000?
Well, first I want to know, like, how and why did you try to talk him down? Like, it's
he's
something
a swindler.
Like, I get like showing up to a vehicle and like you don't want to pay full price and like you can find things that are wrong with it and you're like, okay, like these things are wrong. Like, I don't know. You know, it's, you know, you're talking down when you absolutely fall in love with a car immediately and it's better than you expected. Mm-hmm. How do you talk someone down from that? Like, and why?
Well, I talked to him Subaru owner to Subaru owner. I used a different method here. Okay. He's like, he had it listed for a really long time. He wasn't really into it because he didn't build it. He just bought it.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't like his baby or anything. So I didn't feel like I was taking something from someone.
That's fair. I mean, if he didn't build it, I was thinking that he built it.
If he had built it, I definitely would have just like been like, it's whatever. We'll just do it. But it was just kind of sitting there not being used. So I was like, well, from one Subaru user to the next, like this car's going to be taken care of meticulously.
Meticulous is not, it shouldn't even be in your vocabulary.
Like, I'll taste the oil every once in a while at a gas
station.
That's
the first thing I did to Davey's surprise. He was like, you're tasting the oil, man? What are you doing, man?
But all right, now I'll take my guess before you tell us. So it was listed for 10.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it was worth 10.
It was, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, to the right person. I'm going to guess 6.
How did you know exactly the number I chose?
Yeah. You got it for 6?
I got it for 6. So I got a 600 horsepower coupe.
Wait, you said 400 horsepower before.
Or 400 horsepower, you said 6. So I was thinking about
it. I was like, your story's changing, man. No. These aren't real numbers.
So it's a 400 horsepower coupe. Which I really wanted the coupe.
Nice.
It's cool. It's built well. It's going to last a long time.
Did you send a picture to Andrew yet?
I haven't yet. That's what I should have done. I should have sent it to him. He would have
Andrew
really appreciated.
Is a big fan of Imprezas. Yeah.
So you got yourself a rally car.
I got myself a proper rally car. It's like it is.
Are you gonna put rally suspension on it or keep it the way it is?
I want to put rally suspension. It came with something that I've never seen before. It's JDM, so you know, it's Subaru coilovers from Subaru.
So like they're
like adjustable BC coilovers. From Subaru.
That's interesting. Because, I mean, the style of shock on a Subaru stock is
coilover, a coilover. Yeah.
But they're like a wire.
So I said it wrong, but like a...
I was just clarifying. Yeah. Like, I know what you mean. I was just
like, yeah, think of like Sad Boy suspension, but it's from Subaru.
Subaru factory.
And it's adjustable. It's pretty sick.
That is pretty cool.
Nice.
But it bounces like... The BRZ.
Oh. The
it's so like, they're boom, JDM, but they're probably boom. Worn out JDM yeah. with no
yeah,
valving left.
Blown out. They're terrible, but yeah.
Nice.
Yep, so that's what I was saying. I think I was very responsible. I didn't break any laws.
I mean, you did race three people that you mentioned, so yes, there's that. But
there's that, but other than that, I also got 130 mile motorcycle ride in this weekend, so nice. That's what I did this weekend. It was really nice. Didn't break any rules.
Very nice.
Nice.
Uh-huh. I don't believe you.
One doesn't go on an R1 without breaking any rules, man.
To be honest, though, this Subaru sounds more responsible than your other Subaru. Because your other one was just like a kind of random clapped out WRX. Yeah,
it was just,
and you were putting a ton of power into it, and it was like...
And it didn't have like the brakes or anything to support
it.
Yeah,
right.
So
stock.
It was
like, this one sounds like it might even have an airbag or two left in her.
Or not. It has the JDM steering wheel. They don't have
no airbags.
Oh, really?
At all. No
really?
Airbags and nothing. But
does it have harnesses or just
nope? Seats? It's
were the
JDM
safety
seats.
Regulations just different in the United States over that year?
Yeah, big probably. Difference.
Really?
So that's why everyone wants that kind of stuff. But it has like the door
because it's wider for racing and stuff without the. Okay.
Yep. So it's like it's just something like. The more I evolve and the more I'm around Ethan, the more I want something that like works really well and is like built really well. Built different. So I think it's like a next step for me because it's something that I still have a daily driver. I'm not going to be like driving that car.
I mean, it's the first car that you've owned that, I mean, I haven't seen it yet, but based on descriptions, it's the first car you've ever owned that I would want to drive or ride in.
Yeah. It's something that I want you guys to drive because it's like, it's raw and it's real and it's just
Are you going to set a lap time on the rally track with it when you get your rally suspension?
Yes.
I don't get how you can get it for that price. Even the 10, just knowing how much money and time you've spent on your other Subarus so far.
Yeah, and that's the reason that I got it because a 6-speed costs $5,500.
Just the trans.
Yeah.
Buy it, like.
So how was... So I just, it's crazy that someone who understood what he had was willing to let it go for that, I guess.
He understood what he had, but I think the wife also had a one Subaru rule.
Mm. Oh.
Also, there's like, so you guys have seen Milo's car that I built the bumpers for here in town. Mm-hmm. It looks really cool. Like it's a lifted Impreza.
Yeah.
It's nothing special, like body wise,
but
it's very modified.
He's
put a 6-cylinder, 3-liter 6-cylinder Subaru engine in it. And like, he's done a lot of work to that car and I built the bumpers. And like, if you were to like pay someone just to build those bumpers, it would cost as much as he's trying to sell it for. And he keeps dropping the price and dropping the price because no one wants to buy it. Like there is a certain, I don't know. There are certain weird categories of car where like, it's theoretically the thing that everybody wants, but like,
But they aren't
willing to pay
it's
the price.
It's the thing all the 14-year-old high school boys want.
That don't have money.
That don't have
And their
the
parents
money
won't
get.
Buy it for them. And they don't actually have money.
So I think that's the thing. Also, I was telling you in the last podcast, like the car market right now for especially those cars, like Milo's cars, there's a whole bunch of 6-cylinder swap Subarus out there. Whole bunch of turbocharged Subarus.
Yeah, people are afraid of swapped and modified cars for sure.
Big
so like,
time.
Whereas like WRXs, like, aren't seen the same way because it's just, it's already turboed. It's already, even though it's been touched many times.
When they're touched, that's fine.
Like, but it's not the same as an engine swapped car that in terms of people being, like, afraid of it. So maybe there's that, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway. Yours, how built is the engine to get 400? Or is that, like,
it's
a Subaru?
It's super built, but the thing that's cool is it's super built and it's not tuned to a certain, it only hits, like,
13 pounds of boost or something. It's high compression. It's like
high compression
low build, yeah. low boost. So that's cool. It has a tiny turbo. It hits boost like instantly in every single gear.
Is it a 2.5?
It's a 257 with 2.0 heads on it, and then a JDM intake on it. Mm. So, and then these weird fuel injectors I've never seen. And it has a 3-disc clutch in it that has built my leg differently.
Oh, dude, racing clutches are terrible.
Yeah, it is like very intense to drive, but it's exactly what I wanted. And I think Ethan is exactly right. Modified cars, when they're engine swap, people just don't want them because.
I think modified cars in general, you just never get anything close to what you put into it.
No. Like, to build that car, you would have spent, like, easily over 20 grand.
Right. Mm.
In just random things, like wiring harness, $1,200. Like, ECU.
Yeah. Turbo. Couple grand.
And then you go to sell it, and people are like, it's just a little car with an engine in it.
Yeah.
$6,000. And so I think that's how you get something like that. But that's what I was whispering to Steven about.
Nice. Very nice.
I'm just really, it itches something in me that the Honda Civic does not. Like
Honda Civic should not do anything for you.
The Honda Civic has really been griping me out lately. It lost its VTEC and it only goes to 4,000 RPM and hits only 80 miles an hour.
So well, that's over all of the speed limits in this part of
well, the world, yes. So. But every day on my way to work, all I have to do is slam my foot all the way to the ground in fifth gear.
Built-in cruise control.
Yeah, it just goes 80 miles an hour, and I cannot go any faster. It is horrible. And also burns like an insane amount of oil. It was like Ethan walked past it, and he's like, your car smells like oil.
It does. It does smell like oil, yeah.
It does, yeah. It's terrible.
That's pretty craft.
It might also smell like oil because I dropped like multiple gallons of oil in that.
Yeah, no, that's smells true like too. Burning oil. Yeah, gosh, yeah. Like just like oil.
True. Yeah. I'm getting responsible too.
What did you do?
I'm retiring the Tesla, man, as a daily driver.
Yeah.
I need a truck. I'm just a guy who needs a truck. What can I say? So I got the smallest, cheapest truck that's the closest thing to a Changli money can buy.
I got a chance to ride in it. What were we going to do? Just get lunch or something? Yeah, we went to go get lunch. Ethan, his truck. Is a Changli in the interior.
It really is. It's so plasticky. It's so nice. I love it. Yeah. Oh my gosh. The screen is super small. I really don't like the trend of like the biggest screen possible in the truck.
I'm with you on that. My Tundra has like a, I don't know, 14-inch screen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't like specifically bother me because I just tune it out. Mm-hmm. But why? What do you need a 14-inch screen for in a truck?
Yeah. Like I get like, it's like, okay, you got to entertain your kids in a Suburban.
But like, you can't even watch stuff on it. Yeah, you can't do that unless you hack it. Yeah. Like it just for navigation, you need a screen like not that big.
That's what I like about the Maverick. Like all the buttons is a real button and the screen just plays music like it should be. Like, and there's a manual button for turning down the brightness of the screen so I can just turn it off to the point. I think there's probably a way to turn it off entirely, but I like just because it's hard to see with this big screen. And like, coming from the Tesla is really nice because the Tesla, like, oh, it's like I want to turn up my speed of my heat a little bit, you know,
the it's fan all on the speed. Screen. It's the worst thing ever.
Touch the screen, touch it. It sucks so bad. So I was like just turning a real knob to turn up my heat. Yep. And I was like, nice.
Yeah.
But I got 26 miles of the gallon.
Nice.
Driving
them
back
home. All wheel drive truck.
Did you know what else is crazy? Wow. My van gets 26 miles to the gallon, and it's a...
Really?
Granted, it's diesel, so it's not a fair comparison.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't know it was that good.
Yeah. Well, right now, the speedometer's broken, so I don't actually know, but that's what I did record a few tanks at 26.
Wow.
So, anyway.
But yeah, it's funny just the cycle of grind-hard vehicles. Like, when we sold the Ranger, it was 6x6 Ranger, falling to pieces, kind of. And then in, like... half a day, we made it super nice.
Yeah.
And then sold it. And the same thing's going to happen with the Tesla. Like, we're putting real headlights on it that are actually, like, DOT approved for the first time with our friend Lucas at SMS. And then we're doing, like, replacing, like, the steering and making it all nice. I already took it to Tesla, got the windshield replaced. Like,
we might have to get the rest of the glass replaced before we try to sell it. It's all pretty jank.
Yeah. It's all broken.
But it's just so, like, it is the cycle, and it does make sense to do things that way because if we make it all really nice and then we're not going to want to rally it through the woods for the video.
There would be no point for just the video.
And visually, it looks the same on camera.
Exactly. And if anything, it's funnier and more entertaining if it's falling
when all the windows are broken.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's more like every time I steer it and it's like that's hilarious for the on camera, you know. Yep. But yeah, normal truck, because there's been a lot of like deals that like we haven't gone and picked up, and like your truck's being used and whatever.
Well, now
and
my truck's just at the body shop for a week.
Yeah,
which is especially annoying.
You just got
new gigantic Fox shocks just showed up today and I can't put them on for a week because I backed into a teeny tiny tree.
That is a bummer.
That would be so aggravating. You have some of the best suspension sitting here.
And I can't put it on the truck.
Yeah. Yeah. But, we've all been making big responsibility moves in life.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if the suspension decision so far up to this point has been not a responsible decision. Because I spent a lot of money on King shocks for my truck because I always wanted King shocks. I thought they were cool. And it turns out that those shocks on that truck, really, really bad.
Yeah.
So I spent a ton of money to make it way, way worse than it was.
That is a bummer. Yeah. Especially since it's a brand new truck. It's not like, oh, I need to replace my shocks anyways. Might as well get something high end.
It only had 24,000 miles on it. So the shocks weren't totally worn out. I was just like, you know, I can do this. I want to, well, I mean, everybody knows I have a suspension fetish basically. So I was obsessed with suspension. I was like,
let's just get the best one.
Best ones. But then Fox came out with the ones that they just sent us that are actually better than the Kings, but they came out with them like a week after I bought the ones that I bought.
That's like our drone.
Yeah.
Things are just coming out so fast right now. It's like you get the best drone and then 2 months later, the better drone is out. Yep. And it's like, well, you're kind of stuck with the old one until you Shrek it into a tree, which miraculously this is the only drone I haven't done that to in like since we started Grindhard or even before that. But
don't say that. Tomorrow you'll like fly it up in the sky and like hit something like a roof.
But then we have the refresh program. Lake. Yeah, I do think so. This drone, next tree or power line or whatever I hit with this thing, and we get the brand new one for the replacement policy, I'll sell that one, and then I'm going to buy the three-lens one. My friend got it. It is amazing. The telephoto is, like, so sick. We could get shots, like, fly 1,000 feet away and get, like, a close-up of, like, a build ripping out the driveway or something. Really? Like, it's that's really cool.
That's the telephoto would be really nice.
The telephoto would be awesome.
There's just something about the compression that...
Especially on a drone.
Yeah. It's like, well, because the drone, you can't get close to stuff most of the time. I mean, like the FPV one you can, but that one isn't like smooth cinematic stuff.
Yeah.
Like you have to be farther away or you're going to run into crap.
So. But you like buy a drone thinking, I'm going to get this sweet aerial shot like in the movies, when really every shot from the movies is not a wide.
No, it's like a cinema camera with a
exactly.
You know, zoom lens on
it. That's the plan. The next responsible decision I'll make is crashing my drone so I can get the new one.
Good idea. Yeah. That's a swindle move right there.
Did you have a wise words with Will queued up for today, Will?
Don't use tennis shoes in the mud.
That's a good one. I thought the whole point of wise words with Will is that it was spur of the moment, not queued up.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm feeling it today. I brought my tennis shoes and I walked in the mud a little bit. Boots. I have, and the weird thing is, my boots are like right there too.
Yeah. So along,
you know what else is funny is we have another boot sponsorship coming up, and all you have to do is respond to a text, and you get another set.
You
of
get
new
a brand
boots.
New pair of these.
Really?
Yeah.
Where?
It's a group chat.
Oh.
Just respond. The one there's a them. Whole list, and you just have to pick one.
Okay.
Em called me today, and she was like, "Can you make Will respond to group chat?" I was like, some things aren't possible on this earth.
You know, but I think this is a perfect time for another extremely funny story regarding boots and Will.
Oh, what'd you do?
Will wears a size 9 boot. I wear a size 11 boot. Admittedly, we have the same brand of boots. But mine, they tend to be a different color and shape due to the way that Will wears his boots.
He's a menace.
It has happened no less than 3 times that Will has gone home wearing my boots. Like, I have numerous pairs of boots, and so, like, I'm not always wearing the same pair. So Will goes into the house, takes his boots off, And then when he leaves, he puts on size 11s and does not notice all the way home. He doesn't notice. The first time he did it, I was like, Will, you wore my boots. There's two pairs of yours and there's only one of mine. He's like, no, that's not possible. I could not have done that. And I was like, no, I promise you, you did this. He's like, no way. And then he went home and he's like, oh.
Yeah.
You were right. I took your boots.
And then I did it two more times.
Yeah. Three times.
He's done it to me too. Like we're walking around the garage.
Well, at least yours only like half a size different.
Yeah, but they're still completely different color and everything.
That's true.
And I was like, well, you're wearing my boots, man. And he looked down, he's like, no, I'm not.
The ultimate swindler is just swindling everybody's boots.
Yep. That's the boot swindler. And this is the Scent and Bent podcast. Thanks for watching. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts.